Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe that there are some things that we're afraid of. This is just kind of a for what it's worth. But I think in part, we're afraid to lose control. By that, I mean this. If you read about incredible movings of the Lord in Scripture, I mean God was fully in control, but mankind had nothing to do with it. There was. There's a Scripture we're going to be going to in just a moment. I am not going to get as far as I wanted to tonight in the message, but that's okay. I've got 4 points. I was going to cover 2. I might even just get 1, but that's all right. This is important, and what has been said is important. By the way, can I mention this? How many of you would like to see revival in Sacramento? You stop and you consider. This is such a controlled area by the wicked one. This is a stronghold. And I know some people maybe are kind of skeptical when we say this, or they just kind of maybe roll their eyes a little bit. But anybody that gets up and truly they have prayed, they are seeking to do God's work with His power, they are seeking to get the Word of God across. There are times you get in the pulpit and you can sense the resistance. You can sense it. Tim was sensing it this morning. I have gotten in the pulpit. Now, please do not misunderstand. Not trying to lift us up. It's not that. It is the work that is involved. It's the same thing when we go to the Capitol. You can sense it there. In revivals, there are times when people will come and they rejoice in it and they praise God, but the fact of the matter is they don't want to let go. They don't want to yield to what God is seeking to teach them. We get that way. A lot of pride is involved there, and it's subtle, but it's there. You know, I pray that we pray that we have revival. It's not up to us. I'm going to be showing you a passage that the Lord spoke volumes to me about recently. But let's first go. This is the passage that we're going to be going to, and we're going to be hearkening back to, like what we've been doing on Sunday morning. Buy the truth and sell it not. This is going to be something that we key off of. Soldiers of Christ, arise. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at just the first 4 verses. Thou therefore, my son, Paul wrote to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the target. Verse 2. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. That's the teaching. So we have the target, the teaching. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the trials. Lastly, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's the testimony. That verse 4. When I read that, I think of all the things that are in this time, in our culture, that seek to entangle us and just just slowly, just dragging us into it all. But we're going to be looking, first of all, at the target. Our target, what we focus on. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, I pray that you'd speak to us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be on you, our focus on you. Lord, I pray that something would be done in our lives tonight that we did not expect. Lord, that we allow in the deep recesses of our hearts, we say, Lord, come. Please, show me something. Show me myself. Show me where I need to repent. Show me, Lord, teach me, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Yesterday afternoon, I had a great time. I called Chuck Coffey. I can't remember who's heard him and who hasn't heard him. How many of you remember Chuck Coffey here? Raise your hand. Okay, so most of you did. Chuck's not doing well. He just isn't. He's getting ready to turn 80 years old. When you're 80 years old and you've had so much Agent Orange be sprayed on you and you've done everything that he's, man, it's just, you know, that's him. But we always have such a good time talking. I asked him a question and I got a great answer. You know, he has told me stories about different things that he's gone through, and he's told them, some of them here. Probably the biggest thing that Chuck ever went through was the Tet Offensive. The reason why it was big to him is because at that time, he was infiltrated into the North. He was actually in Ray City behind enemy territory. Behind enemy lines, it was him and 9 other guys. And they came across 136 NVA North Vietnamese Army, the regulars, not the Viet Cong. These guys are the trained, they're the crack troops, they know what they're doing. 136 NVA and Chinese in NVA uniform. So it's those two against 136. He said there were times that there were guys, NVA, that were just 3-4 feet from him with their AK-47s going off. That day, he killed 17. The guy that he was with killed 13. The sad thing is that out of the 10, he and this other fellow were the only guys that made it out alive. It tore him up when he would talk about how some of these other guys, there was a big black strapping guy, just a great guy, I forget the guy's name. They took him, they tied him down to the ground, and they skinned him alive. They found his body. It was not good. He was MIA for 9 days. They lost so much weight. And I said, Chuck, you know, can I ask you a question? What was it that what was it that kept you going in this kind of thing? I love documentaries. And I've been watching Ken Burns. He's done several. The ones that he just put out on the Vietnam War, I don't think I'm going to like, because he was leaning to too many people who have very left leanings on that. But I've watched the Civil War that he did. I remember when I was recovering from the knee surgery, I watched his 10-hour documentary on baseball. But he put out one on World War II. And I've been watching that. I'm just now finishing it up. And this one guy watched a little bit this afternoon. He was talking about how he was in prison. He was a prisoner of war in the Philippines. And he said when they were on board ship and they came underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and there was a huge flag out there, he said guys were weeping, you know. And they, you look at that documentary and just seeing everything that they went through and the stuff, it was just, It was awful. So I asked Chuck, you know, what was it that kept you going? And I don't know why I didn't think of this, but he responded. And I thought, yeah, that's it. He said, they absolutely drill into you in the Marine Corps their mantra. You know it. Semper Fi. What does Semper Fi mean? Always faithful. Semper Fi, always faithful. He said, it's just that thing that you just don't quit. You just don't. Now, he enlisted. He was in it for, I think, 22 years, something like that. And through that whole time, that was what he lived by. Now, when we were given the gospel, we were told that without Jesus Christ, we're on our way to hell, right? And so, praise God, we've trusted Christ as Savior. But then we're told this. We wind up going to a passage like this, and we're told, hey, guess what? We're a soldier. And now, in the discipleship, in the preaching, in the teaching, in all these things, we are encouraged, yea, we are commanded. Listen, you need to understand that in the body of Christ, you've got so much, but you have to recognize this. This is a battle. When you stop and you consider what enemies of this nation are doing, and by the way, it's not just a thing of right versus left. Do you realize that this nation still pumps out far more missionaries, far more missions money than any other country on earth? Satan wants to bring this place down. In the 80s, we were putting out 85% of all the missions money in the world. Satan is not stupid. He knows what he's doing. So when we talk about what's happening to this country, it's not Democrat versus Republican. It's not right versus left. This truly is a spiritual warfare. And that's our focus. So we have a target. That's why I call this, when it comes to us, and we might not think of it this way, but we are soldiers of the cross. Well, guess what, soldier of the cross? We need to arise. We need to arise to our master. We need to arise to our calling. We need to arise to our enabling. I've got it. You've got it. Yes, we do. And then we need to arise to our future, because one of these days we're going to be standing before our commander in chief. Amen. I mean, have you ever just kind of lay awake at night and stop and think about that? One of these days, I'm looking at Christ. And what I need to ask myself is this: what did I do with what I had? I don't know about you, but I look back and it breaks my heart. And I'm not just saying this. It breaks my heart when I stop and I consider the times that I shortened God's arm because I told him I don't have a natural ability there, ergo it can't be done, therefore, Lord, I'm not going to try. How many of you have done that? Now look, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And I don't know about you, whatever time God gives us, I would love to see God's people praying for revival in Sacramento. I'd love to see it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. When we got saved, we had all of Christ. We have, I should say, all of Christ at our disposal. What does that mean? Go to John chapter 10, would you? I'm doing something different in my devotions now. And it's interesting that I just read this, in fact, it was yesterday. I just read this. Meanwhile, Tim and I are out on visitation yesterday, and he had me listen to part of a message, just very quick, about 5 minutes. And while the guy was preaching, he happened to mention this verse. Bam! It nailed me. I think in part because of what I had been been preparing here. But you know how sometimes you can hear a verse, you can catch a portion, and it's like God just takes it and it's boom. He wants to drill it into you. I want you to go to verse 10. Look at verse 10, John 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. By the way, the enemy has been doing that pretty good, hasn't he? He has stolen when it comes to virtue, when it comes to history, when it comes to just our vision. He steals. He has stolen. He has killed. You know, you stop and think about it. No wonder what, you know, Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs either 7 or Proverbs 8, all they that hate me, speaking of the wisdom of God, all they that hate me love death. How is it that there can be people that are clamoring and stomping and screaming and spitting and protesting over children being separated from their family, and yet they'll turn around and they will butcher millions of children in abortion, like Brad talked about this morning? That's insanity. But watch this. This is what got me. He says, I, that word I, when Jesus used that, it's in the emphatic. But he said, this is what the thief does. But as for me, is what he is saying. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That so hit me. You know, how many of you have ever been to Disneyland? You know, you go in there, and there's ride after ride after ride after ride, and there's all this stuff and this and that, and it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to a different amusement park, but it's all this stuff, and it's there to get you excited and you know, just, oh, man, gonna, you know, be great, you know, Space Mountain and the whole smack, you know, all that stuff. And then you wind up going to other venues where they try to make it exciting and this and that and wow and fast-paced and everything. Then you walk away from it and it's like, oh man, I sure did miss that. That's not biblical Christianity. Picture this, please. Biblical Christianity is such a joy and an abundance from within, not that we manufacture, but what Christ has put in us, and in meditating on Him, it swells up to the point that you can take a man like the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was just like us, he was just absolutely sold out to Christ. But you can take a man who has so much in him because of Christ, that in the midst of a prison with all the cursing and all the pushing and the shoving and the misuse and the abuse and all of that, that man can sit down and write, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, we might be able to write that if we're sitting in the middle of Disneyland, but what if we're sitting in the middle of a prison? Now, folks, think about that. You talk about the fruit of revival. It is people who are absolutely content. In fact, it's beyond content. The life that they are living, yes, they have the trials that come. They have the test. They have the people that hate them. And nobody wants to be like that. Nobody wants to live. You don't crave that. But the fact of the matter is, that while all that is coming from the outside, which is no Disneyland, on the inside, there is an abundance that is just overflowing. And you didn't have to be in the best this or the greatest that or the most fast-paced this or whatever. You stop and think about it. When you go home, if you turn on your television and you see the advertising, excuse me, I mean, you can't live without this candy bar or that cereal. You've got to drive this car and you've got to go on this vacation. It's all outward. Paul is saying this, be strong in the grace. What's the grace? It comes from within. Be strong in the grace that is in the Christ Jesus. Without that grace, the free flow of love, the enabling work of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts, all of it, it's all in vain. You're faking it. You're trying to make it look real. You don't want to look unspiritual. And so you wind up, you know, clapping the plot, you know, doing whatever. That's why they're doing the things they're doing in some churches. They've got to bring something that's a thrill or exciting to take the place of the abundant life that only comes from within. Listen, bravado is not going to get us through what's coming. It doesn't matter what happens to AB 2943. It's not going to stop. Eventually, they're going to look at us, more people than we'd like to think, and when it comes to biblical Christians, they're not going to be for us. That's not a downer. Again, we have the abundant life. But the tide is turning, and unless we have revival, sweeping revival. Well, the Lord told us this is happening. And when it comes to facing this, when it comes to being a soldier of the cross, a soldier of Christ, bravado is not going to take us through. Willpower is not going to do the trick. Neither will apathy, arrogance, anger, or adrenaline. It isn't going to do it. Anybody here ever run a race? Do you ever run a race and you weren't ready to run the race? We had a rule at the Christian school that I was at. If you play, you know, we had all three sports, football, basketball, baseball. Baseball was the last. And, you know, the school was small enough, you know, you just had to do it. And so, got into this situation. You know, if you do baseball, you got to be on the track team. So we went to the track team, got on the track team. How many of you remember running the 100-yard dash? Okay, not bad. How many of you remember running the 440? I know what they, okay. So I get out there and I'm just gonna, you know, adrenaline. And so thing went off, I'm gone, I'm number three. This is great. Got around the first curve, going on the backside, coming around this way. And all of a sudden, red starts coming down my eyes. I am failing fast. So instead of finishing, I took a detour to the grass on the right-hand side, and I'll let you just fill in the blank. I wasn't ready. It's the same thing with this. I was counting on adrenaline. Adrenaline didn't cut it. We need to feed. We need to be in this passage right here. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One thing and one thing only will give us strength and guide us through. One thing, and that's the grace of God. Paul, earthly speaking, had all he needed to be an influence. We've heard this. You remember reading this in Philippians 3? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh. He said, I more. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, hey, I was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he could look us in the eye and he said, I'm blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, what he's saying is this, look, I had all this. I was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. I came from a rich family, Tarsus. I gave it all up. It's gone. I gave it all up for Christ. And he, because of Christ and the grace that was found in Christ, was carried through shipwreck, all the stuff that he went through in prison, the beatings, everything. Now let's just stop and think about that. That's our target. When you read your Bible in the morning and you're learning him, you need to know that he is your source. Don't forget that. He is the power, not your bravado, not your knowledge. He is your power. He is our power. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. No wonder he could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Stop and think about the significance of just simply making that statement. He didn't say, I can do all things. Hey, I'm Paul. Just watch me. No, I can do all things through Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He is lifting up our God and Savior, trying to let us know this is how we do it. You are a soldier of the cross. You are called. You don't have a choice when it comes to being in the battle. You trusted Christ, you're there. You are either going to fold, wilt, quit, or you're going to stand. Stand. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Please hear this. I'm almost done. I'm only going to make the first point. But please hear this. The Christ-enabled life is the Christ-exalting life. The Christ-enabled life is the one that exalts Christ. If it's personality, you will be exalted and I will be exalted. If it's just sheer willpower, people will look at us and say, wow, look what he's doing. Look what she did. But when the power is of Christ, the Christ of our salvation is the one that is exalted. Paul was literally put to the test with this. When he suffered, whatever it was that he had, people say that it was his eyesight. But when he went to the Lord, he said, Lord, please do something. The Lord answered him, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly therefore, will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Number one, the target. We've got to laser in on the grace of God. All that we have in him, that's what the grace is. It's what's bestowed on us that we didn't earn, but he has given us in order to be soldiers of the cross. And with that, we'll stop. Next week, we'll take on a little bit more. All right. How many of you feel like an apple pie? If you just want to go home, that's okay. It's more for us. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so much to think about. Lord, this is your ministry. You do with it as you see fit. You take us, Lord, and as we go our different ways, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize that how we live our lives tomorrow and the next day and the next day, if there is going to be that victory, it must be of your grace. It must be of that which we have been given in Christ Jesus. We will be tested. Lord, you will make sure that we are tested because we have to realize the importance of your grace. So, Lord, I pray that your grace would be our target. That is what we would meditate on. That is what we would think about. That is what we would, Lord, repent to while we turn from our fleshly works, which is sin. So, Lord, help us to just keep that grace. Help us to be in your word and studying. Help us to recognize the importance not only of the spiritual warfare, but how to war that fair, as it were. Now, Lord, bless our time together tonight. Help us to encourage each other. Lord, thank you for the salvation that we have in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.